I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Good morning to all of you. It is our anniversary. Happy anniversary, Mark Riley.
Happy anniversary, Mark Maron.
Today is the day that Morning Sedition has been on for 1 year. It doesn't seem like a year, does it?
Seems like a decade.
Come on, man. I tell you, I got no sense of time anymore. With these hours, it seems like it's everything's just this weird blur. I'm just in a constant state of... like strange fatigue and almost like, it almost feels like a hangover, but nothing seems to happen in real time. But I guess it has. It's all taken place, apparently, because I watched it on HBO last night.
Oh, you did watch it on HBO.
When are you going to watch it, man? No, let's get to the bottom of this. What is this about,
Riley?
There is no bottom to it. You don't go to the screenings, either of them, and then you don't watch it on HBO.
Me and Chuck D, man.
No, you can't just...
The black thing.
You can't. No, it is not. You cannot cop out with that. You have a problem with yourself on television. Is that it?
No.
What I do is what I do,
and I don't necessarily look back.
I feel that way. I don't listen to our show ever. I've not since the beginning. Could you imagine? You know, we are actually going to listen to some great moments in Morning Sedition history.
Yes.
Throughout the show, we'll be sharing those with you. It took me a long time to be able to watch myself on television, especially in that condition. Man, thank you for all the supportive emails and whatnot. I appreciate your niceness. That's a word. Someone, of course, emailed me about my grammar. But you know what? I'm a poet, and I'm not going to adhere to the rules of grammar because it's all dogma, man. Break it up. Language, man. Come on. It's just another system. But we did get some emails like this one. I am watching the Air America Radio HBO special, and you should feel totally embarrassed. I never realized what a whiny, egocentric asswipe you are. Your coworkers must hate working with you. I feel sorry for Mr. Riley, who is a true professional. You are a poor reflection of radio and humanity. You piece of crap.
Wow.
That was great. Good morning. Good morning to me. That was good. I'm glad I read the emails. But no, this is just a bad one, and of course I'm just reading a bad
one. There was a lot of love.
There was hundreds of good ones. And, you know, the funny thing is when I did watch it, I seeing that depiction of myself and seeing how crazy I could get and how anxiety-ridden and worried and everything else I was because I had not done this before and I didn't know if I could do it, I had to be honest. You know, when I watched it, when I went to see it the first time, I was completely paralyzed with fear that I would be misrepresented. And I know what it's like to be on television and not be happy with it. I've done a couple of stand-up spots that I look back on and knowing that hundreds of thousands of people saw them, though many of them didn't remember, I was embarrassed. But I'll tell you honestly, I walked out of this thing. I watched it again last night. I'm not embarrassed. I mean, that's who I am. What am I going to do?
You are who you are. There's nothing wrong with that.
There are, but I'm working on those things. Some people are stubborn about that. We're just like, I'm not changing, and if you don't like it, to hell with you. Yeah, there's some things you can't change, but I had no problem with my neurosis. I mean, it definitely tapered off, right, fellas? Right? But I do want to, it's better, isn't it? Isn't it better?
Sure.
Okay, I do want to say this, though. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, my hometown, where I grew up, there is a party today, April 1st, at Wings Coffee House. That's on Harvard, off Central in Albuquerque, where I grew up, to celebrate the first anniversary of Morning Sedition. If you want to stop by there, I guess that's happening, in the morning. It's not clear. There's no time. I'm sorry I can't be more specific, but that's what I got. Tomorrow, that's today. Okay, Friday, April 1st at Wings Coffee House off Central in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning to all our affiliates everywhere. I'd read a list of it, but I don't have one in front of me, but you know who you are. You know, out there in Sacramento, San Francisco, Atlanta, Boston, Seattle, Portland, Albuquerque,
San
Luis Obispo, Memphis, Sacramento. Well, you know, good morning to all of you. Minnesota, we there anymore? Madison.
Dallas.
Denver, very early now. But good morning. Cincinnati, how are you? Dallas, yeah. Corpus Christi, Austin. You know, just good morning and thank you to you all. Those of you who are just getting on board, welcome. Don't be afraid. Sometimes we're a little intense, a little heavy, a little over the top, but that's the way it is. Anyways, moving on into the anniversary, the bulk of the anniversary show today. We're going to be bringing you pieces of Morning Sedition history. We're obviously going to report on the news. I got a little touch of the taste of the creeps today because of, you know, what happened, what's going on with Tom DeLay, what's going on. There was some militia activity. The Michigan militia was reaching out to militias across the country to mobilize on the Shiloh hospice to take her body hostage and keep it at a safe house before she died. That gives me the creeps. I'm also saddened today. I found out the day before yesterday that a friend of mine, Mitch Hedberg, a comedian, some of you may know him, a very funny guy, passed away on Tuesday night. I knew about it yesterday, but I did not want to say anything on the radio until the family announced that it was appropriate. And he is no longer with us. He was a very funny guy and died way too young. I've known him for years. I've sort of not been in touch with him too intimately in the last few years, but I had a couple of really good times with Mitch, and we were in a comedy competition years ago in San Francisco together, and we've just sort of, you know, passed each other's paths, you know, over the years. We had the same management, and it's just it's a devastating blow to the comedy industry. It's a devastating blow to comedy fans because he was a real original in a lot of ways, and just died way too young, which, you know, happens sometimes in the business. You know, it's not clear, you know, what exactly did it, but you know, if details are forthcoming, I will certainly pass that on. Mm. It's you know, it's sad, man. You know, it's sad when you lose somebody, when you lose anybody who you know, it's sad. But you know, when people are young and
yeah, and you don't think it's their time. When you don't think that, you know, particularly guys in their like 30s and early 40s and
yeah.
stuff, that's a really scary time to lose a friend, to lose
yeah.
somebody that you've known. Because, first of all, it makes you acutely aware of your own mortality.
Sure,
that's
sure.
number one.
Yeah.
But number two, it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why this particular person? Why the? Especially if you think that person had more to give.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And, you know, fans of Mitch Hedberg will miss him. And people who don't know about Mitch's work, you should check it out. We will be back with the rest of our anniversary show. We've got Morning Sedition Radio Theater coming up. We're going to talk about Social Security. We're going to be playing bits of Morning Sedition history. And we're going to be talking to you, our listeners. We'll be back. It's 13 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, fighting treason with a reason. This is Air America Radio.
The Morning Sedition Radio Theater Company players bring you their production of The Shadow Government.
When last we left Mark Maron, he and Special Agent Henriette Mantell handed News Daddy Wayne Gilman evidence of collusion between George W. Bush and Osama bin Laden. But then, Alberto Gonzalez and the evil clone of Ronald Reagan appeared. And by the way, Mark left a copy of the evidence with his lovelorn assistant, Blanche. Just thought I'd mention that. It's not important. All right, it is.
Okay, evildoers. News Daddy isn't leaving until everyone gets a taste of spicy hot whoop-ass. And when News Daddy says a herding is on its way, you know the pain train is riding all night long.
Actually, News Daddy, it might be more useful if you let me hold them back while you take the incriminating document to the papers.
Cool. See ya.
Looks like it's an even match now, Maron. You and Henriette Mantell versus me and an unstoppable killing machine.
Kill? Kill? Mean?
I may go down, Gonzalez, but not before I f*** you up.
Ah, don't do that!
Geez, Gonzalez, what's your f***ing problem? You're screaming like f***ing Tom DeLay having to pay his own hotel bill.
Ah, foul language! Unclean! I can't bear it! Getting weak!
You mean foul language to you is like torture?
You found out my weakness, Maron. You can make me do anything, but you can't stop the evil clone of Ronald Reagan. Only I know how to do that.
Then I'll torture you until you tell me.
Oh, yeah. Crap.
Don't you mean
Stop it! Stop cursing! Stop it!
Excuse me.
Gonzalez, what you need is a swift spinning kick in your balls.
Oh, you just had to say it, not actually do it.
Will, you just let a woman kick in your balls, you big pussy.
Ah, shut up, evil clone!
All right, Gonzalez, get out and take your evil Reagan clone with you. I don't want to see your ugly faces again.
You haven't heard the last of me, Marin. I'll return in your next adventure.
Nice work, Mark.
Thanks, Agent Mantell. And now, I guess I get the girl.
And I get to make out with the coolest private eye on the East Coast. Mark, it's your cell phone.
Damn it. Hello?
Hello, Mark. This is Blanche, your secretary slash actuary slash veterinarian.
Blanche, I'm right in the middle of something. Could you hurry it up?
Well, remember that incriminating document Henriette gave you where Bin Laden wrote that he worked with George Bush?
Someone mentioned it, yeah.
Okay, where it says, this is my fourth year living in a cave, the TH in fourth is small and raised up. Typewriters can't do that.
What?
Mark, either Osama bin Laden has a computer word processor and printer in his cave, or this document is a fraud. Who gave it to you, anyway? See where he typed a smiley face? Only Microsoft Word after Windows XP could do smiley faces. No way Osama has an operating system after Windows XP.
I've got to go.
Mark, I have a cute new dress. What are you going to call...
Mark, why are you looking at me that way?
Has Mark been tricked? Who is Henriette Mantell? Do you mean to tell me this entire series actually has a plot? Find out next week when we hear Blanche say...
And it's also got a web address at the top and a banner ad for Yahoo. Did you even read this thing?
That's next time on The Shadow Government. And tune in later for the Morning Sedition Radio Theater Company Players production of Mark Maron, This Is Your Life.
Oh, man, I don't believe it. That's right, Mark Maron. Tonight, we're reuniting you with some of your long-lost friends. For instance, do you recognize this voice?
Mark, did you take my yogurt?
I don't know who that is.
It's Danny Myers, your first college roommate.
Hey, Mark.
I still don't know you. I mean, I was drinking a lot back then, but I guess there's some stuff I just don't remember.
But we lived together for a year.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sure you remember this voice.
I always knew you'd be famous.
Boy, wow. I don't know.
It's your old drama coach, Enid Douglas.
Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi. I don't know you. I'm sorry. This is why I don't drink anymore.
What?
Well, here's a voice you have to recognize.
It's our dog of the week.
Wow. Yeah, No.
It's your current radio co-host, Mark Riley.
Wow. I just have no recollection of you at all.
But I sit next to you every day. You don't even drink anymore.
Yeah, I've had a lot on my mind.
That's coming up later on Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
23 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
It is our anniversary, year one, here at Air America. Surprise, conservatives. We made it through no matter what you said or did or hoped for. Here we are, and we're going to be here for a while longer. Very exciting, Riley.
That's right.
It may never end. We will never sleep like human beings again, ever.
Oh, my God.
But that's okay. A lot of people appreciate it. I do want to thank Penelope up there in Wyoming.
Oh, man.
Dude, look at this thing. I don't even know why I brought it down here. Like, anyone's going to be able to see it on the radio, but we got sent this, like, it looks like a 1-foot by 1-foot brick of Hershey's chocolate.
Yep.
That's all I need. I'm gonna do you all a favor and hold off on it till about 8:30. But it says, happy birthday, Morning Sedition. You ever seen a piece of chocolate that big?
No.
Look how big that is.
It's gigantic.
Oh, No, I got to wait.
You can't do it, man. I'll do it. And that'll be the end of that.
I know. We'll be sleeping in an hour. But that was hilarious. I showed Brendan and P.W. McDonald and Dan Pashman, Son of Lewis and Linda Pashman up there in the office, or I show them the brick and chocolate, and they're like, no, don't do it. Don't do it, because then you'll be like a gerbil, like in one of those experiments. apparently, you know, we got emails yesterday, you know, when they brought in a big breakfast for us with croissants and fruit and everything and coffee.
Yeah.
And apparently I was like, is that true, Kayla? Was I like that?
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you give me a Vicodin?
I did not pass out my Vicodin.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have done it anyways, because you know me, man.
You were skittering, man.
Oh, skittering? Is that what you call it? Sliding, brain skidding, skittering? I was definitely operating at warp speed there. So how's your teeth, man? Kayla had his wisdom teeth out and has been strung out on Vicodin for the last 4 or 5 days.
And it's not bad.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Every time I feel a little bit of emotion or something, I just pop some Vicodin. It's so good.
That's,
it's like a whole new world.
You know what that's called?
What's that?
Addiction. It's called drug addiction.
No.
All right.
No. I need it for the pain.
Yeah, that's what people say long after their wisdom teeth are healed up.
I need it for the pain,
Jerry Lewis said that for 40 years. The Percodans are for the pain. Pain becomes a pretty relative thing, you know, after
a
certain point.
Person?
Sure it did. Funny? I don't know. But nonetheless, it was interesting because we went to this little lunch they held up at the new offices where the new studios are going to be.
Yeah.
You know, Grand Central Air America. I wonder if it's going to be like Sirius. Ever been over to Sirius? Dude, that's like going to a space station. You walk into the offices of Sirius, man, they got a satellite feed. They've got, they've got literally spaceships. They've got this weird giant gyroscope thing that tracks the satellite. And they've got anyways, that's going to be what Air America's studio is going to look like. So we're down there at the lunch that they had for everyone yesterday, and everybody's speaking. And, of course, Chris is speaking out of turn. It's the Vicodin talking, just, you know, making comments, you know, being a class clown.
I'm heckling people for no reason.
He's heckling people,
Doug Krieger.
Yeah, he was following your lead, though, Marin.
I know. I couldn't help myself. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. So we're going to, as we promised before, talk, Mark. I'm going to be in San Francisco tonight, believe it or not, and tomorrow night at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco. Come see that. If you want to go to Wings Cafe on Harvard off of Central in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to have a little morning sedition party in celebration of our first year, that seems to be happening. Also, we are going to be playing bits and pieces from our history here at Morning Sedition. Right, Riley?
Yeah, a year-long history. Can you imagine
that? I think it might even be longer than that in some respects.
That's right. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. As we celebrate the one-year anniversary of Air America Radio, we're pleased to present another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
As you know, Ramon is always infiltrating the top officials in the Republican Party. So here's today's palm pilot for our recently reelected president, Abraham Lincoln. 6 a.m., wake up, trim beard, note. Does it make me look, gay? 8 a.m., free the slaves. Expect a temporary dip in the poll numbers. What's the worst they can do to me? 11 a.m., write speech for appearance in Gettysburg. Better angels of our nature, great task before us. Blah, 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 blah. CNN will run 20 seconds no matter what I say. 1 p.m., meet with generals. Find someone comfortable killing Southerners. Note, they can start with my wife. Hello? My wife. Is this on? 3 p.m., pose for the penny. Note, George Washington owned slaves, and he gets to be on the dollar. What's all that about? 8 p.m., see play at Ford Theater. Tell Mary Todd I'm leaving at intermission no matter what. I need actors in my life like I need a hole in the head. A hole in the head. Where's my gun sound effect?
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
Yeah, you see, it took longer to load and shoot the gun everything, mm-hmm. and fill it up with the musket. That was the old board, you know, the one that had the hand crank on the side. You remember back then? I got to be honest. You know, Riley, it's been great working with you for the year. I'm glad we hung together. Been learning a lot from you.
Who, me?
Yeah, absolutely.
What, are you crazy?
I'm telling you, man, I couldn't have done it without you, and I couldn't have done it without everybody. I mean, you know, Jonathan Clutch Larson, who you know, moved. Remember when he shifted from Smarty Pants Larson to Clutch Larson?
Clutch Larson. That was around the time you guys went to Philly, right?
Yeah, it was because, it was a moment that happened in Philly. We were trying to get to see Springsteen, and all the trains broke down, which was part of a larger conspiracy, but I don't want to get into that. But out of nowhere, he calls his friend who picks us up in the middle of Philly, and that's how he got the name. But he's a Clutch Larson in a lot of other ways. Sent a nice letter to everybody.
Yes, he did.
Sharing his a rare showing of emotion from Jonathan Larson. But nonetheless, I can see that he's a very emotional person. He's not hiding from anybody, and he's done great work here. P.W. Brendan McDonald, you know, genius on the board.
Yeah.
Everybody's been great. Kalo on the board. I mean, P.W.'s not on the board. He does everything. P.W. is somehow involved with everything, as is Dan Pashman. And if he's not, he will make sure that he is somehow involved with everything. But everybody here is has been great. And a lot of the people that you don't see out there, obviously you never see any of us, but like Juan and Mike and all the tech guys, Gerald, all these cats that are, you know, behind the scenes trying to keep all this machinery running. It's just been amazing. And if you saw the HBO special, you know some of the chaos that we went through. And honestly, that was hilarious when we had Kate and Patrick in here yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, it had been months, one of the mics goes dead, which was happening every other day. I mean, there were dead. Man, we used to go off the air for minutes at a time back then. Remember?
Yeah, ghosts in the machine. And you know what? This happens more often than most people think in radio. It happens every now and then, but especially in the computer age. Something goes wrong, a glitch goes down. But you know, yesterday, I was telling Chris, yesterday I call my wife on my way home. She tells me that the dishwasher is smoking all over the place. It's not working right. So I said, well, that's terrible. You know, call somebody.
Get someone in here who knows how to do that kind of stuff.
I get home. The dishwasher's humming like there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And she said, I turned it off. I turned it back on and started working again.
Yeah, they're
just like that microphone.
Yep, they're temperamental. So, look, you know, if you want to call and help us celebrate, 866-303-2270 is our phone number.
I'm over here now.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Uh-oh,
you're pulling up the email.
Now I'm back here. Look at that. See how that works? There's been some blogging going on. Here we go. Air America blows out its first candle. This is someone writing to us from the KPOJ. This is from the Oregon station. Since switching from an oldies music lineup to progressive talk, KPOJ has moved into the top 10 most listened to stations locally. We went from a .04 rating to a 3.7, and that's a pretty substantial jump. Yeah, Dirk's, I guess, is quoted from a paper. That's the latest Arbitron rate. That's for fall 2004. It's the most successful progressive talk station going right now. And you know, I heard rumors the other day that they're looking to put a local show on there. I wonder when they're trying to do that. I hope it's not in the morning. Here's an email. I only watched about 30 minutes of HBO. I will watch more later. Marin, what a goof. You are so good on radio, and you were so worried. You and Riley are wonderful together, as Kalo is and everyone else. I got sober in 1979 and went on to do things I never thought I could do. Wow, you make me proud. Yeah, see, I'm a sober guy.
There you go.
There we go. I'm watching the documentary, and I had to write in and tell you both how much I depend on you and love you and am grateful for you every day. Your start was so rocky, and yet now you're so brilliant and all doing what you were born to do. We love you. We love you. We love you. You're so brave, and you might save the world. I can't imagine a world without you. You all put it on the line for your country and for truth and democracy, and it paid off. Thank you for being your honest human selves. Thank you. Very nice. That's from a Westchester school teacher, my friend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just finished watching Left of the Dial. Thank you, thank you, thank you for hanging in there. We are out here, we're listening, and we're not going away. Really, no matter how much I push you sometimes.
Uh-oh.
Okay, this is in Albuquerque. Go to Wings Coffee House, Harvard, off Central, to celebrate our show. I mean, is this gratuitous? I kind of like it.
No, keep going.
There's nothing like tooting your own horn, is it? You know,
you got 2 hours.
You know,
why not?
I tell you, I'm proud and happy that I actually feel comfortable enough to talk in a positive way instead of the panic that was so visible last night. Here we go. I was just writing to let you guys know last night I watched the HBO special. I'll admit I am a Bush fan in one way and one way only, and that is his not taking any BS from anyone, and that's it. I'm not a fan of his on the economy because I'm an ex-con that served my time and still looked down upon by society at large. I'm currently unemployed and trying my best to make it, but with this economy the way it is, I'll never make it. So as of right now, 10:45 p.m., March 31st, 2005, I'm running with fire to the left with a quickness.
Uh-oh.
That's all I have anyways. Y'all keep up the hellified job you're doing, and by myself, I'm going to turn Kentucky from a red state to a blue one. Thank you.
All right.
Good luck with that, James. All right. What else we got? Okay. So I left the dial last night and realized two things. One, Mark Riley is a truly cool dude. Two, Mark Riley is a truly a cool dude. Two, Mark Maron, while funny, is not so cool.
Wow.
You know what? That's
cut that out.
But you know what? It's true. It's true. You know, some people, no matter what I get lumped into, like alternative comedy, this and that, I've never been essentially cool. You know, I've made attempts in my life to be cool, but, you know, I'm not essentially cool because I'm a little too open, a little too wear my heart on my sleevey. Let's see, what is this? Okay, just finished watching the HBO special here in Phoenix, Arizona. Bravo, Air America. I truly believed I was un-American. There were no other creatures such as myself. Your special brought me to tears. I will forevermore be out of the closet and proclaim my liberalism loudly and with great pride. You have given me this voice and now truly for the first time hope for America. Keep up the wonderful work. Signed, No Longer Ashamed, in Arizona. How nice is that? Oh, my God, what is this one? This is a long one. I just finished watching the HBO Left of the Dial and just wanted to say that if all of the BS that you have to had put up with in the last year is true, then you have my profound admiration for sticking with it. I also think they made you look like a complete jerk. Oh, this is to me. Oh, perhaps you are a complete jerk. I don't really care. Your show is a good listen. But if they are going to dwell on your alleged gruff personality, then they should at least have shown what kind of work you do on the show. The clips that they played in the documentary did not reflect how entertaining the show is. They did a pretty good job of showing Franken being amusing, but your show came off looking like a couple of bitter old policy wonks whining about perceived injustice. Dude, if I look like a wonk of any kind, you know, I'll take it.
We're cool wonks.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll take the wonk. I'll tell you, before I got this show, you know, I was pretty broad in my social criticism. You know, I went and bought one of those American Government for Dummies just so that I'd have a resource guide. And I'm like, man, I got to catch up on how this stuff works. I think that it takes balls to go into a venture like Air America with all the attention that comes with the having never done radio before. The chances of crashing and burning were great, and you pulled it off. It is akin to choosing to lose your virginity in a porn video, and that takes nads. Thanks for giving me something to listen to in the morning, and keep up the great work.
Wow.
That's a pretty weird analogy.
Feel the love.
But I thought all of those girls are just doing it for the first time. Isn't that not true? You mean that those headings aren't real? Let's take a quick call. Terry, listening in Madison. How are you, Terry?
Hi, Terry.
Hi, guys. I just want to say that I'm not a morning person.
Uh-huh.
And although your show, I used to catch the last hour of it or so here in Madison because it starts at 5 a.m., which is much earlier than I normally would ever get up.
Uh-huh.
But the even catching the last hour of it was helped me a lot getting over the election. And what happened there, but then I had some medical problems, which have caused me to start waking up at 3 a.m. and laying here next to my wife. I would plug headphones into the radio and listen, wait through BBC News, and then just wait for you guys to come on. And you guys have helped me every morning of the day, just helped me through those 3 hours where I sit here in the dark and have to get through some medical issues.
Well, thank you so much, Terry. I'm glad we could be there for you, you know, because I know sometimes when you're laying there alone or next to somebody who's sleeping and you're not feeling so well, your brain can go to the wrong place. I'm glad that we helped you out, man.
Really, really helped. You're
okay.
Great job.
Well, thanks, Terry. Thanks for calling.
I hope you deal with those issues, too. I hope you're feeling better.
There you go. Wow, that was nice. You know, I'm gonna get all teared up here. 866-303-2270 is the number. We're taking calls. We're celebrating ourselves, if that's okay with you. We will cover some news in a little while, but 866-303-2270 if you want to share your thoughts or, you know, talk. 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Call us at 866.
Ha! That's awesome. Go on.
303.
Wow, yes, yes, I love it.
2270.
Oh, yeah, drop the bomb. Drop it. There's not a dry eye in the house. Keep going.
That's 866-303-2270.
Okay, well, just so you know, it was good, but I was also being pretty generous.
This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Hi.
As we celebrate the one-year anniversary of Air America Radio, we're pleased to present another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
That's the sound of our brand new facsimile machine with the document from the Fonda compound, bringing us our marching orders for today, August 19th, 1984. Write these down, people. One, hold fundraiser for Mondale Ferraro campaign. Come on, we got to try. Two, protest new movie Ghostbusters for being offensive to the recently deceased.
Oh.
Three, support the Contras. Buy an extra kilo of Coke for the week. Is that going to be enough? Will that hold you, Riley? Come on. Four, out, trickle-down economics. In, Purple Rain.
Whoa.
Purple Rain. I love that guy. Prince. Five, today's phrase, drop this into conversation. Oh, sure, it's morning in America, but Reagan swept through the alarm. Wake up, sheeple. We're headed for permanent midnight, and Bonzo's hitting the snooze button.
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
Who can forget that one, huh, Riley?
I couldn't forget it if I wanted to.
Back in the day, huh?
1984. I don't even want to talk about what I was doing in 1984.
Dude, look at this brick of chocolate. Tokes, Penelope,
oh,
Wyoming.
It's in his hand. You can smell it all in the room now. The whole room becomes chocolatized.
A 1 foot by 1 foot brick of chocolate that says, Happy Birthday, Morning Sedition. I'm going to break it, all right?
No! No!
What do you mean? All right.
Look, hey, we still have a show to do
okay.
in here.
Okay? 8:30, man. 8:30.
8:58.
Dave Cross is coming in a couple hours. He's my old buddy. He used to sleep on his couch, and now he's on television. Also, Jerry. But I'm on the radio. That's good, right?
Yeah.
And Jerry Springer, we're going to talk to him, too, because I want to ask him a couple questions. A lot of people are like, what? Springer? What is that about? Springer on Air America? Well, we're going to ask him. Okay, we'll ask him, and I'm sure he'll have an answer for us. But right now we're going to talk to Bruce listening to us down in Boca Raton. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, what's happening, fellas? I just want to give you guys mad props for going through a tumultuous year. And also, I saw the Air America thing last night. You know what? They didn't make you look like a jerk last night, Mark. You know, you're passionate about what you do, which is what fires me up. And you know what? To see your face when he was reelected, I felt the same way. And I thought I was alone here down in South Florida. But you know, when I saw your face, I was like, oh my God, there's another scene on the dial.
Yeah, there's that face. I know that face. The face
anyway,
of disappointment and horror.
Mad props to you guys. Finally, somebody that I can listen to instead of Hannah, because I hate the guy. I want to actually fight him if I ever see him. Anyway,
thanks a lot, man.
Have a great weekend, and right on, bro.
All right,
man,
thanks a lot,
a
Bruce. Here, I'll give you a couple. I'll give Hannity a couple of these for you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did he fall down?
Knocked that cigar right out of his mouth.
Oh, there
Ooh,
he goes.
There he
is. All right, let's talk to but that's true. You know, you watch the show and you get to relive all those feelings. You know, when we played that thing when Patrick and why am I spacing on her name? What's wrong with me? Kate,
Patrick,
we're here.
And Kate, yeah.
The directors of the HBO Left of the Dial were in here and they played that cut of me. You know, and I heard it in my headphones. I'm like, oh my God! Can we pull that up again at some point during the show, just to embarrass me later?
Yeah.
Can we do that? Okay, thanks, man. Let's talk to John in Minneapolis. John,
hey, how you doing?
Hey,
good,
John.
Congratulations!
Thank you.
Congratulations on the year. I think that's terrific. You guys are wonderful, and it pisses me off. Excuse me. It bothers me that they took you off the air for a local show later in the morning.
Oh, in Minneapolis?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got no control over that.
Yeah.
We
wish we did.
I wasn't blaming you, but
I know.
I just had an experience that really, really makes it clear why we need the voice of the left on the radio.
What is that?
Well, I just part of my Keep Track of the Enemy campaign, I wake up, when I'm up in Minneapolis, I wake up listening to a local conservative talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
And he was ranting on the left and Terry Schiavo today about how the left would really be comfortable under Hitler and under Stalin, you know, the culture of death, desensitizing us to death, all that kind of stuff. And I called up just to point out that he's absolutely right, and we also need to look at laws like the one passed down in Texas. And, you know, just ran into a buzzsaw. I think he ended up telling me I was going to hell and accused me of using someone's death as a political cudgel, which that kind of thinking is amazing. And without you guys...
But that's so weird because, like, they were using someone's death as a political cudgel. You know, that was the insane thing, is that they are the culture of death rallying around a brain-dead woman to make a point. I mean, it's just... It's the convolution and the reversal of what's really going on around that. We are yet to see it. I have a fear that things are going to get even worse with the politicization of this Terry Schiavo case. The way they're going to rally now to attack the judiciary, which is like the branch of the government that is the only one that can operate without these idiots, you know, pushing their agendas into it. That's why it's there. That's why that you know, judges have lifetime tenure, if that's what you call it, and that's why, you know, the judiciary branch is there to keep the other ones in check when they are, you know, perverted by tyrants and by people with agendas that are fascistic. The exploitation of the religious right, but now, you know, I'm starting to think that it's the other way around. I think that this administration, that the media and everyone else is operating at the behest of these moralizing idiots who, you know, want nothing more than to make this a theocratic fascist state. For them to accuse us of being comfortable living under Stalin when they take measures like they're taking now to stifle the judiciary is ridiculous. It doesn't even make sense. They're stretching. All right, we got more calls on the line. I got taken out of the celebration into a tirade.
That's all right. They are attacking the judiciary. Tom DeLay is talking about the possibility of impeaching people. And when you have a situation in this country, Mark, where judges and their families have literally, physically been under attack, when they say attack the judiciary, they may not be playing.
Dude, they tried to mobilize the militia. And, you know, the odd thing is that the judge who was the final one to rule on this thing, Stanley Birch, was a, you know, Republican-appointed judge. These guys are trying to honor the Constitution. What is going on behalf of DeLay, on behalf of militia activity, on behalf of religious organizations, and now the Catholic Church, is anti-American behavior, anti-constitutional behavior, anti-judiciary branch behavior. The judiciary, if they are able to pollute it with activist judges for their side, these hypocrites, then we're in real trouble. We're going to take more of your calls when we come back. 866-303-2270. Is that all we got for now?
No. Look, you all who are just waking up and hearing this thing about the militia, we're not playing about that. We're going to tell you about that when we come back on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Six past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's our one-year anniversary. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for all the lovely emails. Thank you for being on the phone right now. I'm going to take your calls in just a minute. Right now, it's geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Everybody else who listens, even the people that listen with contempt, I love you. I do, and I appreciate your contempt. You know what I mean? Because I'll tell you, you listen to a lot of liberals, they're like, I listen to Hannity, and you're like, why?
Yeah.
Because it gives them a hate buzz.
Yeah.
Some people dig the hate buzz. All right, well, if you hate me, how's it feel to be, I'm glad you're waking up with some hate. So here we go. This is my dream diary from last night. I got a clean slate on this from yesterday. I went to the therapist. All right, we were looking through our files. This is actually, you know, this is a dream diary that goes back to 1968, folks. This is I forgot that we had pulled this one. So I'm living in Paris with my cat Fluffy. Paris is a crazy scene right now, man, with rock music, sex and drugs and radical politics and sticking it to the man, or in this case, le man. But not for Fluffy, who's a sweet, simple cat who likes to play with yarn and nap on the windowsill and curl up in my lap. So I take her with me to the pet store, but we get caught up in a mob of thousands of protesting students who are chanting and fighting with the police and singing Dylan songs in French accents. And actually in French, but in my dream, I went ahead and translated it. Everything is chaos, and we're bumping into everybody, and just then this kid grabs Fluffy out of my arms, raises a fist in the air, and yells, "In the name of the revolution, I take your bourgeois cat!" and runs off into the crowd. I look for her everywhere. Nothing. I'm crushed. After what seemed like months, I hear a loud pounding on my door. I open it and I see this cat with a huge scar under one eye wearing a black beret and a ripped Che t-shirt. It's Fluffy. I say, "Fluffy, are you okay?" The cat lights a cigarette, blows smoke in my face, and throws the burning match on my rug. She says, "Fluffy is no more." Say that name again, Mark Maron. I shall hack off your withered, useless testicles. I am Dead Cat Butch, and I am here to free the slave inside your mind. I say, what happened to you? She laughs and says, "What did not happen, Mark Maron? I have dropped acid with the Beatles. I have read Sartre in dingy cafes. I've heard Ornette Coleman by moonlight. I've stolen from the houses of the rich and given to the poor. I've ripped open 100 pig cops like piñatas. I've made much, much filthy cat sex love to hundreds of filthy cats. My mind is wide open." I say, "So why'd you come back?" Butch says, "I can see the free, filthy cat inside you, Mark Maron. Let him out. Follow me and we shall change this sad, square world." We exchange a long look. She stubs out her cigarette. "So it is settled. First, swallow this pill and take off your pants. Quickly. There's so much to do and life is so short. Vive la sedition!" I woke up and my bed was filled with free-form jazz.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, the birth of
whoa,
Butch.
Whoa,
the Butch origin story.
Whoa. Yeah,
that is epic.
And one. That's all I can say. Yeah, Maron drops the thing right in the wastebasket.
I hooked a nice hook into the garbage. You know, before we go on, you know, I paid a lot of tribute to Mark Riley here and Kalo the Costco Ho, Chris Lopresto on the board, Clutch Larson producing in the booth. We got Dan Pashman, Son of Louis, Linda Pashman, running in the night, finding information. We got P.W. McDonald, Brendan, who is managing a little of everything. I guess you could call him that. He's the associate producer. Cannot forget the writing staff.
Yeah.
Kent Jones here every morning with us. I see it. He's responsible for your favorite character. One of your favorite characters, Lawton Smalls, is the infamous Kent the Colonel Jones, who also contributes a lot of bits and writing that you laugh at every day.
You weren't supposed to give that away, man.
What are you talking about?
You were doubling.
Oh, we've got Jim Earle, who many have grown to love in many of his manifestations as any number of Mortensons or Milfingtons.
Yes.
We've got Bruce Cherry, who is not here today. We've got Tom Johnson, Barry Lank. We got Mike Ferrucci. Some of the cats that aren't here anymore. You might not know the work they did. Frank Conniff. Yeah. There's just been a tremendous amount of work, and this was always the type of radio show that I envisioned when I came on, because comedy is important to me, and I wanted to have that feeling of not just of just the days in which radio where bits were created, where you created a radio theater where you had many characters that could come in and out of the oral landscape that we're generating here, and I just always thought that was the way it should be, a good mix of that and a good mix of the news and point of view that we all share here, and I want to thank all those guys for doing such great work and creating some real great original comedy.
Now, you know who we haven't thanked, and we need to thank?
Who's that?
Someone who almost gets, because we hardly ever see her.
Uh-huh.
Sarah Ann, the researcher.
Sure.
Because she's on when we talk in the afternoon about what we're going to do the next day. She's always on the phone. Any kind of research we need to get, whether it's about, Italy under Mussolini or Zimbabwe under Mugabe, she gets it for us.
Yeah, it's, I think we're we got to be careful here because, we're starting to let people know just how much it takes to make us sound smart and funny. Me and Mark are just here being fed information by a group of people. We have no personalities, and after the show, they turn us off, and we go into hibernation mode, and they put us in a closet. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Hey, let's take a couple of these calls. Pat in Nebraska, how are you?
Hi.
Are you in a truck?
I sure am.
Aww.
Listen, kudos to you, Mark and Mark. and especially to Butch the Cat. Y'all get me through the night, and you got me through that farce of an election. And I want you to keep up the good work because we need you. And for God's sake, get Delay. You know, I don't know what you got to do, but do it.
I know.
You've got a wonderful show. Wonderful show. Keep up the good work. I just can't tell you enough how much I love your show. Yeah, I'm in Nebraska in a big truck.
Okay, well,
and
thank you.
It's coming up, too. You
know, that's beautiful.
There you go.
It's a helpful sign. It wasn't when I got on the line, and now it is. So
enjoy that sunrise, Pat.
Oh, God, yes. And I enjoy your show every night since you've been on.
Oh, thank you so much, Pat.
Thank you, Pat. We appreciate it.
Be careful.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool to be driving in Nebraska watching the sun come up in a truck right now.
You should probably got the Beatles. You know.
Well, maybe. I doubt it, but I mean.
You never know.
Here comes the sun.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, now we're getting cheesy. All right, Pauline in Maine. What's happening, Pauline?
Hi, Pauline.
Hey. Hi. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
All right.
Pretty good. How are you?
Terrific. I'm a Massachusetts export up here in
Maine. I can tell.
There you go.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, listen, I watched Left of the Dial last night.
Uh-huh.
I got goosebumps.
Mm.
It was a wonderful show. It gave me a feeling of connection to everybody else in the country who really knows and is fed up with Bush and his bunch.
Yep.
I listen to not only you guys, I listen to all of Air America. I catch all of your shows at one time or another, but I'm a faithful listener to you guys in the morning. Keep it up. We need you. Go.
Okay.
Go, Air America.
Thank
you. Mark and Mark.
Thank you, Pauline.
Thank you, Pauline.
All right, guys.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Wow.
Mark and Mark, where we go? I lived up there for so long. I love hearing that accent. You know,
yeah.
I didn't think I would miss it, but I when you're up there, you're like, wow, this is incredible, this accent. But now it's heartwarming to hear it. We should use that as a promo. That one. That call was great. Go, Mark and Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was such a nice call, Pauline. I appreciate it. Let's
take
one more and then do a break. And then maybe we should start taking down Delay or something. Don't you think, Riley?
Why don't we start taking down Delay?
Should we start doing something?
No, I can't chill.
Tooting our own horn here. Let's take one more. Fabian in Austin, Texas, a fairly new affiliate for us. How's it going, Fabian?
Hey, Fabian.
It's going great, man.
Thanks,
awesome,
buddy. Thanks, man.
I'm out of Bush country. Finally, we got a good show here in Texas.
Oh, man, I love that city, too, man. I appreciate you listening. I know that there's a lot of real Bush haters in Texas because you guys know them better than most of us.
That's right. That's right.
All right, take it easy, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
All right, man. So we'll be back. What are we going to get into when we come back?
Let's take down Delay a little bit. Here's this guy, and we're going to come back and talk about what he said in the wake of the Terri Schiavo passing. Just more pandering.
This guy would rather instigate a holy war in his own country than own up to his ethical transgressions and eat the crow that he should. 15 past the hour. We'll be back. It's Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on the air and online. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Celebrate the one-year anniversary of Air America Radio. We're pleased to present another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
So I guess we've all heard about what's going on in Salem. I mean, the Christo fascist zombie brigades are at it again. Hysterical children in the village are accusing various people of being witches just because they can, Riley. It's like they point to someone, say they're a witch, and it becomes true.
You notice how the Puritans have turned witch into a bad word?
No kidding, dude. And you know what else I hear? You have to sign a loyalty oath before you can even get into Watcha trials. I mean, it's terrible what they're doing, but how can you not watch it? You know what I mean? It's like a buggy wreck. You can't turn away. We actually spoke to one of the girls just before she was put to the stake, and here's what she had to say.
The man interviewing me is a witch!
And that's when we lost Brendan McDonald, the elder.
What a shame. He will be missed. What are they going to do next? Put these women on boats and take them to other countries so they could torture them?
I think you can do that here now. But they are imprisoning people without a trial. They are shredding the Magna Carta, Riley. What is this? Some kind of witch hunt? Hey, that's a good name for it, witch hunt. I should probably trademark that, huh?
And it's really appropriate, too, because they're hunting witches.
They're burning teenagers, and some of them are really hot, pardon the pun.
You know, Mark, I feel for these witches, but I do want to mention that currently, black people are being bought and sold as slaves.
It's still legal, Mark. If you don't like it, change the law.
But I don't have a vote.
We're taking some calls now.
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
There you go. All right, so let's get into the serious business of tearing the bug-killing dwarf king of the neocon death cult's legislating pig pack, a new one, because he is willing, it seems, to try to instigate and exploit the growing chasm and rift between, you know, real Americans and religious fanatics who want to take over the country in a move to create a theocratic proto-fascist government. He wants to instigate that on their side. This is not a true American. This is not a true Republican. This is a fascist operative who wants nothing more than to create a type of turmoil in this country that could be so grave only to obfuscate the reality of his own ethical transgressions and his own, his own sort of corruption within the Congress, by which he hopefully will fall.
Hopefully. And, you know, we were speculating yesterday, Mark, about what Tom DeLay would say after Terry Schiavo passed, because, of course, Terry Schiavo became his fig leaf in a figurative sense, trying to divert attention from all of this foolishness that's going on in Texas, all the foolishness about the trips and all the rest of this. And he, of course, decides after what, how many years? She was stricken in 1990. He had been in the House of Representatives for 6 years by then. You never heard a peep out of Tom DeLay about Terry Schiavo until March 11th of this year. But hey, we quibble. This is what the guy said. And I'm going to read the. You want me to do the honors?
Sure.
All right, let's read the whole statement that Tom DeLay had to say. And this will show you what a lowlife this man is. And I question how in the world he got elected in the first place. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay released the following statement mourning the passing of Terry Schiavo. Quote, Mrs. Schiavo's death is a moral poverty and a legal tragedy. This loss happened because our legal system did not protect people who need protection most, and that will change. The time will come for the men responsible for this to answer for it. For this behavior, but not today. Today we grieve, we pray, and we hope to God this fate never befalls another. Our thoughts and prayers are with the Schindlers and with Terry Schiavo's friends in this time of deep sorrow.
This guy is such a hypocrite on so many levels. First of all, he and his own family, back when it, you know, was allowed and hopefully will still be allowed, you know, made a decision to pull the plug on his own father because of his father was going to be a vegetable. Also, after that, he sued the company that created the device that injured his father, a tram, for $250,000, which they pocketed. But, you know, now he is being fought hard to create legislation that would disable people from being able to sue those companies with any real effect by moving it to the federal level. This guy is a hypocrite of the nth degree, a power-hungry little man who will do anything to save his own butt, and that's just a reality. And the thing that's scary in this country is that, you know, you have a group of religious fanatics of all ilks, you know, Christian evangelicals and Catholics, who claim to be part of a culture of life by using a brain-dead woman as a symbol to put forth their own views of what is morality and what is legality in this country. Now, you know, to his credit, the judge who heard this case for the last time, you know, and first of all, understand something, progressives, liberals, Democrats, you know, the Republicans have really left themselves wide open here to show what hypocrites they are and what they will do to further their own political agenda. You know, George Bush stepped into this thing thinking that he was going to look like a champion, you know, to what he considered his, you know, his active base. And, you know, he looks like a true, what would you call it? You know,
opportunist.
Yeah, a true opportunist in the fact that he overrode states' rights. He wanted to put more government into people's lives, not only just more government, into a woman that had, this case had already been decided, what, 6 times? I mean, it had gone through the proper legal proceedings. This was not some sort of, you know, reactionary decision on behalf of any court. I mean, this was deliberated many times by many judges, and the decision was made. Yet he decided to find and hope to coerce a judge into being an activist judge at the behest of the Republicans, who say activist judges are something that are ruining this country, yet they support it if it's from their side. And now you get people mobilizing, you get a militia mobilizing out of Michigan. The Michigan militia, these are supposedly, you know, these are constitutional people who claim to be constitutional militias, and they're a little, you know, definitely on the fringe. They're a scary bunch, but they are certainly always the kind of people that say, we want less government in our lives. Now, I'm not supporting militias, but here they were going to go kidnap Terri Schiavo and bring her to a safe house to defend having government be more in people's lives. It makes no sense. The hypocrisy abounds. And this is all because of a weird hornet's nest of a religious fanaticism that Tom DeLay shook up to defend himself, that George Bush shook up to further his own career. And now I'm concerned as to whether or not the momentum of this religious propaganda and these Christo-fascist zombie brigades are becoming a real threat because of their anti-American behavior.
They are really talking about zombie brigades in this case. These militias were coming from Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida, Georgia, and Michigan. And they were planning, supposedly, to march unarmed on the hospice where Terri Schiavo was being kept.
We got Jerry Springer coming up in a few. We're going to ask him some questions. I also want to talk about this Republican-appointed judge who made a constitutional decision against anti-American religious fanatics.
When we come back here on Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Celebrate the one-year anniversary of Air America Radio. We're pleased to present another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
I can't believe we're actually seeing a man set foot on the moon. This is incredible.
Oh, come on, Riley. You don't believe that that's the moon, do you?
What are you talking about?
It's a movie set in Burbank. I mean, one small step for man, one giant leap of faith is more like it. Give me a break, dude.
You're saying we're faking this?
Look, I'm saying they're faking the moon landing, man. Look at the blog postings. Where are the stars? Good question. If the Palomar Observatory can see them, why can't we? Good question. Where are they, Riley? You know what I'm saying? Look at this one from Bonzo. Why didn't the astronauts get fried and all the radiation they had to pass through? That's a good question. Look at this one from Fish Guy. Check the shadows, dude. They're obviously using a fake light source.
Come on. How could they pull that off?
What? What do you say? It's a conspiracy, man. Intelligence agencies working together. The CIA, the FBI, the White House. That's how they're winning in Vietnam. They're all part of one big scary spider, dude. The American people don't stand a chance against brains like that.
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
Well, I remember that day like it was yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
The Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Diamond Bar, California. Your Grace?
Beckon ye hither, thou withered grapes of Sodom, suggestively hanging thy wrinkled fruit bags over the gaping maw of Shadrach, son of Meshech, father of Jedediah, uncle of Jethro, brother to Jethrine, who's somehow related to Elimelech. Heed my warning, thy wicked unbelievers who choose to mocketh the word of God by pressing your hands against your ears and going, la 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 la, la 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 la. The black cloud of God's wrath is hanging directly over your heads, for your souls have become the cages of incontinent peacocks. And your punishment will indeed be infinite, as defined by Euler's equation of infinity, where one is divided by every successive full number squared. As you recall, thrice hebdomenos ago, I spake it upon you about an armed robber in San Diego who stole a bag of poop from a woman out walking her dog. The week after that, I told you about a tractor driver in Prague who died after being crushed by 8 tons of manure. And the week after that, I told you that sometimes Satan's power is so strong, you can't even get a good joke off 2 poop stories back to back. This is surely a sign of the end times, for now there's something even worse.
Oh, no.
Yes. For according to a report backed by 1,360 scientists from 95 countries, the human race is living beyond its means. The study contains a stark warning for the entire world. Our ecosystems and habitats that recycle air, water, and nutrients for all living creatures have become irreversibly damaged.
La, 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 la.
The rapture is upon us. For it was prophesied in Revelation 8 is enough. And I quote it. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And a third part of the trees was burnt up, and part of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And that place became known as Lake Erie. End quote. Now, normally, environmental disaster is number 36 on my list of the top 50 end-time indicators. Right after false Christ, nuclear war, and the marijuana laws. But now that 666 scientists from 666 countries, or whatever the heck the figure is. Look, you get what I'm saying. Soon we'll all be basking in Christ's divine radiance of global cholera, epidemics, and mass starvation. And that's when I'm going to open up a nice frosty can of Opasatabapatapa. Ah, now that's good rapture. Until then, fornicators, keep on fornicatoring. And we'll keep the light on for you. In hell. Tea caressed out.
Thank you, Cardinal. So,
Your grace.
It's tremendous, man. Cardinal, I want to thank you for being here all this year and doing the work that you do for the world and for the people and for your flock.
Thank you very much for that end time indicator.
What number is that list? Mark Maron thanks Cardinal Milkington, number 49.
It's right up there.
Yeah. So what are you gonna go? What do you got going today? Anything?
I got a ear candling and maybe some eyebrow threading. I got eyebrow threading coming up. Yeah.
Your throat okay?
Yeah, a lot of yelling. A lot of yelling.
Well, you know, you look great, and I'm just glad you're as healthy as possible right now.
Well, I'm here for you. Okay. I'm always here for you. Just call me up.
Okay.
Say hello to Jerry for me. I was on his program a while ago.
Oh yeah, we're gonna talk to Jerry Springer. Were you on? Oh yeah, were you on the television show?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a story we should know about?
It was a big fight. I mean,
was that?
Were you security?
Were you a cardinal yet?
I was a woman.
All right. That's too much.
Long story.
Yeah, I guess it is. We'll get into that. Maybe next week's revelation thing, you can talk about that.
Sure.
Yeah, all right. See you later, man.
Whatever.
Okay, good. Sometimes I wonder when that's going to happen. What? Good. Say, you got something else?
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Very nice. We do have Jerry Springer on shortly. Do I have time to read one thing? All right, I want to read one thing here. I want to read this. This is the statement that Justice Birch, the guy who Stanley Birch, who heard the last appeal from the Schindlers around their daughter Schiavo, Terri Schiavo, who has passed. Quote, a popular epithet directed by some members of society, including some members of Congress, toward the judiciary involves the denunciation of activist judges. Birch wrote, generally the definition of an activist judge is one who decides the outcome of a controversy before him according to personal conviction, even one sincerely held, as opposed to the dictates of the law as constrained by legal precedent and ultimately our Constitution. In resolving the Schiavo controversy, it is my judgment that, despite sincere and altruistic motivation, the legislative and executive branches of our government have acted in a manner demonstrably at odds with our founding fathers' blueprint for the governance of a free people, our Constitution. Dig that. So you religious fanatics and you President Bush and Tom DeLay who want to overstep states' rights, who want to impose government's being and religious ideology into the brains and lives of all people are unconstitutional. And by criticizing the judiciary in the way that you are, you're being anti-American and have no respect for the Constitution. You are treasonous. How's that for you? We'll be back with Springer, 42 past.
Morning Sedition.
This is the Wake Up.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
Celebrate the one-year anniversary of Air America Radio. We're pleased to present another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
Who would have thought 2 years ago that we'd be sitting here watching Bill Clinton's second inauguration? This is a great day for the Democratic Party, Maron. We've crushed the Republicans. What a victory.
You know, man, I can honestly say I think we're going to have Democrats in office for like decades to come. I mean, there's about as much chance of Republicans getting back into office next term as Jerry Springer getting a show on Air America.
Clinton looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He looks healthy. All that fast food he eats doesn't seem to affect him one bit, and women love it.
I know. Dude, look at that, the intern with the beret with the long hair. I mean, she cannot take her eyes off of him. I mean, she's heavy, but I don't know about you. I like heavy girls. She's kind of sexy looking. Almost looks like she's flirting with him.
What are you talking about? She's an intern. Bill and Hillary have been together since college. Yeah. You can tell they're inseparable. Plus, how many interns do you think actually get to talk to the president?
I guess that's true.
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
I remember that day. We were so wrong. I mean, how could you be so wrong? You know, you think you know something at the time, and you don't. Right now, on the phone with us, the former mayor of Cincinnati, Ohio. Today is his Springer on the Radio show launches nationwide on Air America Radio. It can be heard from 9 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Good morning, Jerry Springer. How are you?
Great, guys. First, let me apologize. This is your one-year anniversary, and I'm your gift. You don't deserve it, but...
thanks, Jerry.
All right, you want to get started right out of the gate here.
Yeah. Well, you don't deserve to have me, is what I'm saying.
Oh. That's, I knew exactly what you were saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you trying to spin that as a not an insult? Hey, Jerry, let me ask you a question. You know, we get a lot of emails, and and people are excited and surprised, and they want to know, Jerry Springer. We know Jerry Springer. We know what he's done, but I don't think they know everything you've done. And I want you to tell us your what are your intentions, Jerry? Tell us about your show and what you're going to do and where you're
coming from. Well, I'm coming, I guess, from the perspective of middle America, from the middle class, from the notion that this administration, as frankly as a whole bunch of administrations even before it, though the conservative administrations, really have assaulted the middle class, have again forgotten people at the low end of the economic scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're wealthy, if you're famous, if you're powerful, hey, this is everything's great for you. But for most Americans, life is pretty tough now, and all the policies that get passed invariably benefit those at the top. And
right, and when they can't give them some belief that being part of a religiously fanatic operation will save them, it leaves people with a lot of despair.
Well, I think this last election really showed that it's the Democrats, we Democrats were going around saying, oh boy, we're finished, what happened and all that. The truth of the matter is I really believe that this last election may be the beginning of the end of the Republican Party, because it has been hijacked by a small group on the religious right that has hijacked their party.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a civil war within the Republican Party. Moderate Republicans are probably wondering what the hell has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you've got 80% of the country saying that the feeding tube issue should be left to the individual and to their family and should not be left to politicians, 80% of the country isn't Democrat. That tells me that an awful lot of you know, Republicans are saying, whoa, guys, stop taking our party away. And I think in that civil war, we will see a return of Democrat progressive politics.
I'll tell you, Jerry, honestly, I hope there's not a civil war for real in this country. I mean, you know, given the sort of momentum of the religious fanatics, I mean, how do you feel about the sort of time delay?
Well, I think what they're doing is there, when you mix politics and religion, you demean religion and you destroy politics.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, you know, people ought to be able to go to church and not wonder, you know, who the minister or priest is happening to back, and you know, what is the church doing now? And churches are going to be divided. But you know, God isn't a Democrat or a Republican. He's not even an American.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, Jesus was a liberal. Jesus probably would have registered Democrat. And he'd certainly be an environmentalist.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't imagine Jesus saying, hey, my God, my dad made this earth, and now I'm going to mess around with it.
I think God is Dutch, isn't he? Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, he had a Dutch accent.
Okay. There you go. You know, Jerry, it's interesting you bring up the whole question of moderates within the Republican Party, because yesterday we were talking about an op-ed piece that was written by former Senator John Danforth of Missouri, who was, I'm sure you know, is an Episcopal minister,
yes,
that said exactly what you were just saying. But you, as a student of politics, do you get a sense that what we're going through now is yet another instance of conservative Republican overreaching, like we saw with Nixon, like we saw during the Reagan years?
Well, the truth is, it's a function of this whole second-term syndrome. A president gets elected for the second term, and they start believing their own press releases. They see it as a mandate. They know they don't have to worry about re-election, so they go off and don't think about the consequences of what they do. They say, God has anointed me, you know, I'll just lead them down the path that I want to. And invariably, you're right, they do overreach. Whether it was, and it's even happened with Democrats, when Lyndon Johnson in his second term, Richard Nixon had Watergate in his second term, Reagan had Iran-Contra. Now we're seeing it with Bush. And this fanatical right that is taking credit for getting him elected is now saying, you know, you owe us. And, yesterday, at this most, you know, sad, sacred moment for the family, for the president and Tom DeLay, for these people to come out and turn her into a bumper sticker. I mean, why not just come out and say, our hearts go out to the family and we pray for them and hope they get through this period of grieving. Instead, and he says that, and then what does he say? And by the way, this is the beginning of our Culture of Life campaign. And, you know, what is that about? You want to talk about Culture of Life? Then fine, don't cut Medicaid. You want to talk about Culture of Life? Then fine. Don't be cutting programs to people in Africa who are dying of AIDS because you don't want to give them the money because they're handing out condoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is so hypocritical. The only time this administration cares about the culture of life is just before you're born and just before you die. Everyone in between, the hell with you.
Yeah, they just don't know how to deal with that. It's interesting because you said that the religious right or the fanatic right says that you owe us and they want to take the whole judiciary branch of the government.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And, you know, we're getting that. You know what this administration doing? It is feeding this feeling. I mean, you remember a couple of months ago, this guy unhappy with a federal judge goes into her home and kills her family members.
Right.
You know, and then then the next week, somebody goes into a courthouse and kills a judge because he didn't like the result. And now you got Tom DeLay saying, you know, we're going to get him. Good Lord. I mean, why not just go up before the American people? Why doesn't the president or Tom DeLay, these people, go before the American people and say, you know what, folks? Judges are awful. You don't like the decision. Let's get them.
Yeah, well, there were militias. There was a report that the guy Norm Olson, the head of the Michigan militia, was trying to organize a nationwide militia movement to go take Terry Shiloh's body before she died and put it in a safe house.
Oh, I know. Well, now what they're going to do, though, you know, in a couple of days, they'll open up the coffin and say she's gone. Oh, my God, he had a daughter, too.
Oh, you know. Lord, incredible. Jerry, back to your show for a quick second. How much stuff, because I heard one of the promos for it, and you talk about talking to a lot of the movers and shakers in D.C. How inside the Beltway will Springer on the radio be?
Oh, I don't think they're going to let me in. That must be a promo. They're not going to let me inside the Beltway. In fact, you know, I got one of those those bracelets, those anklets. You know, if I get anywhere near the beltway, alarms go off. They shut down the Capitol. They keep me out.
Oh, wow.
We'll find stories, but we'll probably have to get them in different ways.
Well, you were a mayor. You know, what were some of the things you fought for when you were a mayor? What were some of the things?
Health clinics in all our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. At that time, that was a real big issue. We didn't have a public transportation system. So,
what do you think of Blackwell's potential run for governor out there?
Well, actually, he was my vice mayor when I was mayor. He was a Democrat back then.
What the hell happened to him?
Yeah. I don't know, drinking? No, I'm teasing. I don't know. But he's, I like him personally, but he is so off the charts, in terms of the political spectrum. We couldn't be further apart. And I think what he's suggesting, forget what he did as Secretary of State, but what he's suggesting that they, with the constitutional limitation on the budget, will create such havoc. I mean, there goes that whole culture of life thing. You cut the budget so much, there's no chance to have social programs. And this is exactly the whole philosophy, starve the beast. These right-wing conservatives believe everyone should make it on their own, and therefore, let's not help each other. And which, of course, is a fiction. No one ever makes it on his own.
That's right. Jerry, I think we got you all worked up, so you might need to call us every day before you do your show.
I think this is great, but I'm going out to buy a new suit quickly because I want to really look good on the air.
You go.
It's radio, Jerry. Radio. Oh,
but they told me.
And I know. Yeah, I know. Don't listen to them. Stick around for Springer on the radio
you
right
guys
after
are great.
Us.
I love you every morning.
Thanks
a lot, Jerry. Good luck
with the
show today.
Thanks.
You take care. Yeah, so that's today's his first show on the Air America Network. It has been running for, a couple of, a week? Or so, a couple weeks.
A couple
out there
weeks, but now it starts today on
Big
Air
time.
America. Yeah, now when we come back, Mark Maron, we got a lot of show left.
Got Dave
man.
Cross, my buddy.
We got Dave Cross, we got the dog of the week, we've got a whole bunch of things, so don't go anywhere. This is Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Good morning, geniuses. 6 past the hour, morning sedition, Air America Radio, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Whoever you are out there listening, we are celebrating our 1 year anniversary. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Oh, boy, what a day it's been so far. I'm just looking at this brick of chocolate sent to us by Penelope in
Get
Wyoming.
Get your hands off it.
When
touch
can we
it.
Eat it? When everyone's coming in?
8:59.
All right. They're coming in. Everyone's going to come in a second. Dave Cross is coming in a little while. And we've got this brick of chocolate sent to us from our fan in Wyoming, Penelope. It's huge. It's like a foot-by-foot brick of Hershey's chocolate.
Thank
happy
you, Penelope.
Birthday. Very nice. Also, if you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you want to stop by Wings Cafe, I believe it's called, on Harvard, right off of Central. They're having a morning sedition party, I understand. I don't know what time it started or exactly when it's going to go till, but apparently it is happening at Wings Coffee House, Harvard, right off Central in Albuquerque, my hometown. Thanks for doing that, you guys. We have been listening to some of the sort of great moments in morning sedition history, and let's do another one right now.
As we celebrate the one-year anniversary of Air America Radio, we're pleased to present another great moment in morning sedition history.
Well, as you know, Jews have been telling him they're being rounded up by the Germans, placed on trains, and sent to work camps that are actually death camps. The Jews have pleaded for help, but he has refused and wants to stay neutral in the war. Thanks to him, countless Jews are dying. So, for ignoring the slaughter of, I don't know, maybe around 5.9 million or so Jews, Pope Pius XII is Morning Sedition's Dog of the Week.
Wow. Speaking about dogs, Riley, I just found out why they call Rommel the Desert Fox.
Why?
Well, it's pretty keen, and I think we'll talk about it after this.
This has been another great moment in morning sedition history.
Oh, my God. You remember that? That's way
yeah,
back.
Yeah.
Way back. Well, I can't think of a better segue. So right now it's time for Woo! Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Yes, yes, yes. The Morning Sedition First Anniversary Dog of the Week has got to be special, and this one is. Could it be House Majority Nutjob Tom DeLay? He's now talking about going after some of the judges involved in the Terry Schiavo case.
No shame in his game, but there's one guy out there for whom shame would be a step up. We're talking about Douglas Smith Jr. He retired in February from the Boy Scouts after a 39-year career. This week, he pleaded guilty to a single count of receiving and distributing child pornography. That's right, Marin, kiddie porn, young boys. And yes, we're talking about the Boy Scouts here. This is the same organization that can't see its way clear to allow gays to be scouts. Isn't that the way this always happens? Smith is facing 5 to 20 years in prison after copping a plea before a federal judge in Texas. Now, if only the Boy Scouts would plead guilty to ignorant and homophobic behavior, we could all go home. Why should someone's sexual orientation prevent them from joining the Boy Scouts? Better not ask Douglas Smith. He'll learn his fate on July 12th. In the meantime, this Roy Cohn of scouting is the morning's edition, Dog of the Week.
Woo! Kayla lost it about like he's like hysterical laughing. I'm not sure I want to know why.
Young boy.
No. What is that? Oh, the Vicodin.
Oh, hey, boy. I just wouldn't want to be him on my way to the big house. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting in relation to young boys how now the Catholic Church, in light of the Schiavo case, is trying to reinvent itself as a public kind of like, yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen a priest on television standing up for anything politically. And, you know, this is an organization, you know, I guess we should have a little respect at this particular moment, but because the Pope is,
you're talking about the Pope.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about the American Catholic Church, who almost went bankrupt because of an epidemic of pedophilia, and now they're trying to reinvent themselves as the culture of life and trying to get networks operating into that arena as if people were going to forget. Now apparently enrollment in Catholic schools is down. I mean, people aren't necessarily buying it because it's not so easy to forget an epidemic of pedophilia on behalf of the priests in that particular organization. Hey, you know, it is our one-year anniversary. We do have a brick of chocolate here. My friend Dave Cross is coming in. And, you know, I got to be honest, my personal reflections on this day is that I had no idea that in my entire life that I would be doing this for a job. I had no idea that I would be a radio host. I had no idea that I had it in me to do it, you know. But I tell you something, when I heard this was happening, I immediately, like right when I heard about Air America, I didn't know how to get involved and who to call or what. And I rarely talk to Janine, but I've known her for, you know, we started together. I've known her for years, probably 20 years already. And I called her up. I said, what is going on with this? And she put me in touch with Liz Winstead, who I've also known for like 15, 20 years, because she did comedy years back. And I guess she still does. She did a half-hour special on Comedy Central. But I spoke to her, and I said, look, I want to be part of this. I really want to be part of this movement. I want to help take the emperor down. I want to do anything I can to possibly, you know, change the country and to help, help get rid of Bush. And, you know, I said, I only want to do Morning Drive. And be careful what you hope for. Be careful what you ask for, because now I'm here and I'm getting up in the middle of the night. My entire life has changed. And I tell you, you know, working with you and working with everybody here, Riley, I every day, guys, I did an interview on radio last night in Santa Cruz. I did an interview with some guy who he used to run a show in college and now he's doing a show. And he asked me about, you know, do I ever get, you know, tired of the hours and this and that. But in all honesty, every morning I learn something. Every morning, you know, I learn something new about myself, about politics, about, you know, how people are listening to us. I learn and I expand my consciousness every day. It's a complete learning experience. And outside of that, it is the most engaging medium I've ever been. You can't sleep through this, man.
No, you can't sleep through it.
You can't.
And, you know, my experience was a little different. I had been doing radio here in New York for a long, long time. And, you know, when they called me down to the 40th floor of our building into the chairman of Inner City Broadcasting's office and said, look, you know, there are going to be some changes, and would you like to do a national morning radio show? I said, what, are you crazy? what's going on here? I mean, I had no idea what this whole thing was about. And then, I ended up talking to some of the higher-ups at the time. And, you know, was a little nervous about how I was going to fit into this because my my focus had been so local for so long. I mean, we had covered, you know, political conventions and that sort of thing. But, you know, I was into the nuts and bolts. What is this city councilman getting ready to do? What's the mayor getting ready to do? Those kinds of things. And, you know, when you have to do a national situation, when you're into a national thing, you got to kind of refocus your head. You really got to sort of recalibrate your brain to take in stuff that you hadn't really looked at in that kind of context before. And that was, for me, the toughest adjustment. That and, you know, going to bed before my 8-year-old daughter. I still can't get used to that. But you know what? I keep saying this over and over again. The vacation I took around Christmas time changed my whole outlook about it. Because I used to be anxious, man. I would be as anxious as you were seething.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, I would be anxious about what, you know, am I going to oversleep? I'm going to wake up. It's going to be 4 o'clock. Larson's going to be on the phone. Where are you? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It never happened. One time I had a flat tire, I think.
Ah, you've never been late.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you get, I've always been one of those people who's been anxious. I mean, I worked for 30 years at the same place, and I think I may have been late no more than 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I that's just my thing.
Yeah.
So I got really, really anxious, and then is it going to work? Are they, am I going to come in one day and they're going to say, hey, man, we don't need you anymore. You know, you have all of that kind of stuff going on.
Sure.
And in the end, it's been a great ride.
It has been. And on top of that, the seething guy every morning.
Nice. But no, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Seething with creativity is not bad seething, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I can, see, because I can deal with people. I understand, you know, different things drive different people. I understand that.
Sure,
you know?
It has been a great ride, though, man. I really appreciate working with you. It's been great.
And me, too.
And we're going to bring all the guys in here. You know, if you got a question, we can't do that, actually, because we're all going to be in here. So there's not going to be anyone on the phones. Brendan, P.W. McDonald, Dan Pashman, Santa Luisa, Linda Pashman, Jonathan Clutch Larson. Even Nia Gelman, if he's out there.
He's out there.
Well, Kayla's already in here. We'll bring all the guys in for this, and we'll all be back here in the studio, which, you know, sometimes is very entertaining. 15 past the hour. We'll be back in a second.
You're listening to Morning's Edition.
Our highest rated, most respected news show in America.
On Air America Radio. Celebrate the one-year anniversary of Air America Radio. We're pleased to present another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
Yeah, as you know, Ramon is always infiltrating the top officials in the Republican Party. So here's today's palm pilot for our recently reelected president, Abraham Lincoln. 6 a.m., wake up, trim beard, note. Does it make me look, gay? 8 a.m., free the slaves. Expect a temporary dip in the poll numbers. What's the worst they can do to me? 11 a.m., write speech for appearance in Gettysburg. Better angels of our nature, great task before us. Blah, 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 blah. CNN will run 20 seconds no matter what I say. 1 p.m., meet with generals. Find someone comfortable killing Southerners. Note, they can start with my wife. Hello, my wife. Is this on? 3 p.m., pose for the penny. Note, George Washington owned slaves, and he gets to be on the dollar. What's all that about? 8 p.m., see play at Ford Theater. Tell Mary Todd I'm leaving at intermission no matter what. I need actors in my life like I need a hole in the head. A hole in the head. Where's my gun sound effect?
This has been another great moment in Morning Sedition history.
All right, there you go. It's 22 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
We're done.
We are, yeah. We broke out the big chunk of chocolate that Penelope sent us from Wyoming and got everybody in here. Kent the Colonel, Jones, Jim Earl.
Good morning.
Yeah, Jonathan Larson, Wayne Gelman, Brendan, P.W. McDonald, Dan Pashman, Son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman. We've got Kalo on the board, Chris Lopresto. And now, sometimes it's when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So, of course, many of you know that I do have an iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator, and many of you know that we use Brendan as the intro and outro music, and he has volunteered to do it live. Can we have it?
All right.
All right, here we go. From the New York Times, Bush panel finds big flaws remain in U.S. spy efforts. Put that in there. Bush panel finds big flaws remain in U.S. spy efforts. Translation, Bush hails big flaws initiative as huge success. Huge success. Anything? I got a room full of people here. Wow, Kent. There's six people in the room, and you're the only one laughing.
I'm participating in the show.
All right. From MSNBC, Jane Fonda regrets 1972 visit to Vietnam gun site. There you go. Jane Fonda regrets 1972 visit to Vietnam gun site. Translation, Fonda, swift boat vets finally agree. Wow. Wow. That's great. That's great. Who's doing the fake radio? Who's doing it? Was that Larson? Okay. He doesn't have that kind of laugh. I know what Larson's laugh sounds like. He can't hide his laugh. And I'm not going to make fun of him because it's the anniversary day. It's kind of girly. HBO Chronicles. Yeah, who did that? Was that Brent? All right, this is getting crazy. HBO Chronicles left-wing radio struggle. HBO Chronicles left-wing radio struggle. Translation, Marin goes on hiatus, claims nervous exhaustion. Oh, yes. So who wants chocolate, man? Look at the size of this thing.
Oh, man.
I already had a piece. We only got a half hour. Dave Cross is coming. He's dealt with me manic in many phases. Yeah, I've known that guy for years. So who's got some reflections? Brendan, anything on the year?
Well, other than, you know, getting in here and dealing with, you know, hypomania in its truest form from a year ago to where we are now, I would say that that's progress, you know, not just on a liberal side, but on a kind of, you know, psychoanalytical side with you, Mike.
Thank you.
That's great.
And you guys have been great. Pashman, you know, you haven't had enough airtime lately, so you got some sort of...
Well, I thought maybe that the Dan Pashman show could start debuting if you guys have an hour you weren't planning on using or something.
Well, there's one before Rachel. There's going to be an hour in a couple of weeks from 4 to 5, I think, if you're willing.
And he's up. You know that.
And you can talk to Springer. Maybe that thing's not going to work out. Who knows?
Yeah, he's a hack.
Jerry's fired. You're fired now. You're done. Pashman, you call Jerry and deal with that later. Larson, what do you got? Anything?
I've learned a lot in the past year, none of which is transferable to any other job at all.
But one of it is how to manage insane, megalomaniacal, insecure talent.
I've dealt with those before. I worked in TV, but it didn't prepare me.
Names? Drop names? Nothing?
I worked at ABC with a whole bunch of people there.
Oh,
I was on
Jeff
Greenfield, Connie Chung, Anderson Cooper. I worked with all of them.
So
not saying they all fit that category.
But one of them does.
Some of the people I've worked with do. And again, none of them prepared me for working with you.
Okay, good. Nice. Thank you. Thank you for everything you've done. Wayne Gilman, the legend.
Hey, Wayne.
Wayne Daddy.
Please, hold your applause. Okay. Who's your daddy? No. I just want to say it's really been an honor and a pleasure to be working with you guys the past year. I sat up last night and I saw Jonathan Larson's email to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
I was deeply touched. I hung it on my office wall.
Wow.
I mean, it's such a sentiment.
Right and next then, to the toilet? Right there?
No, I said in the office wall.
Oh, I thought that's what
did
you called it.
Sentiment?
Both. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
But truly, it's been a blast. I enjoy it, and I wish to continue.
Good. Thank you. I'm glad you're here, man. Kent.
Yes.
What do you got?
I just want to thank you for everything, Mark.
Thank you, man. You have been great.
You've been Jim. Great. We've really enjoyed it.
Jim, we don't have a lot of time.
That's comedy gold.
Yeah, that's right. That was genius right there.
You got an email?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's,
on the computer machine.
Jim, tell us how you really feel, will you? Because, you know, what's really going on in the heart of Earl?
I think this whole year you have ignored the environmental issues.
He's being honest.
I'm being honest. Be nice.
We got Dave Cross coming back. Looking forward to talking to him. I actually haven't seen him in a while. Thank all you guys. Let's give ourselves a round of applause.
Yeah.
It has been fun. I hope we stay on the air for another year.
That's right. Hold on. We're coming back after this on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Before past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey!
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. We're going to talk to Dave Cross in just a second. Right now, all right, let's take this call before we move any further. Maybe it's a happy anniversary call. We've got Ted in Nebraska. Ted, how are you?
Good morning. I saw the documentary last night.
Yeah.
Air America's clearly bankrupt of ideas. I have no idea why anyone would ever listen to your left-wing drivel.
Oh, no, it's happening. Oh, no, I hate when... help me, Riley. Oh, my God. It's... Oh, no. Oh, no, it's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh, no.
South Pennsylvania.
Live from Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservative's way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, neocon. It's 10 past the hour here on Radio Halliburton. Halliburton, right of the dial. Yeah, so I saw that documentary on HBO about Air America Radio, or as I call it, Error America Radio. Get it? Get it? What's the matter? Liberals can't make any money on the radio? Too busy ripping out our feeding tubes? What a lineup. Al Franken, what's the word I'm looking for?
Boring.
Exactly. Thank you. And Randy Rose, I got a clip for her right here. Oh, imagine that. For 4 hours. 4 hours, people. And Janine Garofalo, God help us. Hey, Janine. Yeah, that's the first hit you've had in years, loser. The whole network was like I wandered into Last Call at the Queer Town Jew Bar. But you know who was the worst? Let me tell you who the worst is. That Mark Maron. Oh, I'm Mark Maron. I'm a vegetarian. And I don't eat meat. And I have cats. And I'm the funniest man in the world. Oh, no. What a clown. What a buffoon. Morning Sedition. What kind of stupid name is that? I got a better name. I'll tell you. Yeah. Clutch, PW, Kalo. Here's my liberal agenda. Hey, Wayne Gelman. I'm Mark the Shark. Yeah, you, that's right, you've been Shark Gilman. How do you like that? Hey, it's 12 past the hour. Let's take a call. You're on the air, caller.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think Marin's, you know, funny. I think it's a funny show.
And oh, would you shut up? Shut up! Shut up, you stupid idiot! How'd these liberal a-hole get on my show? Who screens these calls?
Sorry, Mr. Shark.
Yeah, you're fired. Get out. Go work for Air America, loser. Hey, it's 13 after the hour. Time for the neocon power weather forecast. Here's your 10-day forecast. Morning Sedition. I bet you run out of money in 5 days. Stick around, neocon. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
Don't touch that dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Right and Early.
What happened, man? Did I black out? That's weird, man. Was I on the floor?
You okay?
Yeah, I'll be all right.
You sure?
Yeah, I think so. This is radio theater in the studio right now. A friend of mine who I've known for way long time. He's on Arrested Development right now. He's one of the co-creators and founders of the Mr. Show movement. He was in the movie Spotlight. What is it?
Spotlight.
Yeah. Sunshine, the Internal Mind.
Sunshine Spotlight.
Yeah, he's in that, and he's done HBO specials. And he's Dave Cross. Did I leave anything out? Did I leave anything out?
Most things, but that's fine. That's fine. Let's skip over it. Nobody needs to know or cares.
I used to sleep on his couch in Somerville, Massachusetts.
That is true.
Uh-huh. So, Dave, are you all right?
Yeah. I took some notes on that comedy bit, and I got some punch-up suggestions if you want. I'll give them to you later after the show.
I'm always nervous to do comedy around Dave.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We started out together a million years ago, and he was always the guy that took it one step out there.
Uh-oh.
Remember,
it's literally been 20 years, over
about 20 years,
since
right?
Catch in Boston?
Yeah.
Catch a Rising Star, Boston, Massachusetts, in Cambridge, actually, down there in the basement. Dave Cross, myself, Louis C.K., Janine Garofalo, Laura Keitlinger, a couple other people that you might know had the run of the place.
Yeah.
For the most part. And Robin Horton, the guy who used to run the place, that was some weird times. I ran into him, but I think that's a conversation to have off the air.
Uh-oh.
No, he listens to the show. He's a crazy, he's progressive to the nth degree, but let's not talk about that.
A good guy, certainly well-meaning, very well-intentioned. Sometimes errs on the conspiratorial side of things.
I would say that's putting it nicely. So you come in at you're on 3 hours sleep, and you tell me about this genius new drug that you don't know if it's working or not. What's it called?
It's called Concerta or Concerta.
Concerta?
Like Concerta.
Okay.
And,
but why
I just
is it prescribed?
It's a way for a group of, again, well-meaning, big-hearted people to make a little money. They found something in a lab and were able to, you know, push it. Is that the word, push it, the phrase?
Sure.
No, I think that's not the word they use. They like to use the word treat people.
They like to use the word help.
Yeah. Help.
It's helpful.
And what does it do? It's just.
I don't want to knock it. I'm only on day three of it, but.
God forbid you knock a drug. You know.
Well,
you know?
But I don't know. I mean, okay. I just want to be honest about it. I don't know if it's.
Working.
Working or worth it or.
What's it supposed to help you do?
Focus.
Yeah, it's not working.
I knew that was going.
The jury's in.
No, like be able to focus and have a little bit more clear-headedness and energy, I suppose. But I don't. It doesn't come with, or they don't take into account being up until 4 a.m. drinking.
Oh, really?
That's before you wake up at 7, whatever it was, 7:30, and then taking it. So that's not part of their...
So it's hard
their,
to tell.
That wasn't part of their focus kind of...
What is it, once daily you dose this?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not so bad.
So wait, did you just get back from L.A.? Did you just finish shooting a season of Arrested Development?
Yeah, like 3 weeks ago.
And how'd it go? What number are they on now?
I think there's only two more left. I believe two or three more.
Is that like that show is like this is an interesting show for you because apparently I'm not up late anymore and I know I have TiVo but I can't seem to find a lot of time to do anything. But I've been reading a lot.
So
of
your stress. Excuse is no excuse.
Exactly.
Your excuse is worthless. You just use an excuse. You reference something that allows you to do whatever you want. It allows you to.
Did I mention I'm working, that I have a job, and that during the day I have to read things and then try to figure out how to live a normal life on the hours that I'm on? I'm sorry, I can't make time for your little show on Fox. I apologize.
1 half hour?
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Not a half hour.
Okay.
21 minutes.
Is that what it's down to?
It's a Fox half hour.
Wow.
I thought the half hour was officially 22 minutes.
Fox is breaking all the rules, man.
So then that's like, what kind of time is that? You got a full ensemble cast. How do you, like, dictate stories? Do you have to, when the guys are writing that, do they have to go like, oh, man.
Oh, it's crazy. Honestly, the scripts that come in are, the scripts that we get to shoot, sometimes on the day of the week, are coming at like 34, anywhere from 28 to 34 pages. And you know that's going to be cut down to 21 minutes of airtime. The scripts that they get before they cut it down to 34 minutes are literally like, anywhere from 48 to 50 pages, then you go in, then you shoot it, and then it kind of spreads out because people riff around and stuff, and you cut all of that to 21 minutes.
Oh my God! So like,
it's tough. I mean, you're barely leaving any time for good meaty product placement.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of time left. Like I'll be in there chewing on some, you know, Wrigley's Eclipse gum.
I mean,
it's refreshingly mini, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I like to experience the refreshingly mini flavor of Eclipse Spearmint for long-lasting fresh breath, right? I mean, there's power in it. It's available in a variety of flavors, but.
Don't try the lemon. Trust me.
Okay.
There's just no time for that.
Yeah,
kind of
perhaps
stuff.
I'm staying at the Driscoll Hotel, lovely hotel in Austin, Texas.
Wait a minute. Who left that in here?
Just making stuff up, Austin.
Who did leave that here? The Driscoll Hotel in Austin, Texas.
Here you go, Mark. Here's your key to your room.
Okay.
You're basically telling me that, like, so every episode afterwards, everyone's going, oh, man, that thing didn't get in? That's the best thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's not all we're doing, but right. that I'll have to go into, we all have to go into, to do, you know, ADR, the pickups, the audio recording, and you'll see, you'll be compacting a scene that maybe took four pages,
yeah.
three pages,
yeah.
and you'll have a, you'll see a character who turns his back, and then you rush in and you go, anyway, that's why I'm off to work. And then, you know, you cut the three pages out of the scene so you can justify.
Wow. But I'll tell you, it's like, it is, like, the two episodes I've seen, okay, I'm an ass, but very funny, but, you know, I love you, and I, you know, I want to talk when we come back about Mr. Show, because there was a moment there, like, you know, you kind of took off, and, you know, once I got past my jealousy and anger.
You haven't gotten past it. Let's be honest.
All right, we were going to come back with Dave Cross, but we'll see what happens, and he'll be back. 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning's Edition, on the air and online. Morning'sEdition.com, Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
It's Morning's Edition's one-year anniversary. We're going to land this thing with my buddy Dave Cross is here. You may have known him from the Ben Stiller show as well, another one I didn't mention. Also, we had some great times. When do you realize how much history we had? I remember going to the beach and me watching you, like, you know, eat medicine for your stomach, and then that time I hit you in the head with the softball. That was the worst.
That wasn't your fault, though. I mean,
I felt so bad about
what
that.
What happened was you called my name as it was traveling towards the back of my head, which would have been all right, and in a panic you said, Dave! And then I turned, literally, to face it, popped my glass. It broke my glasses in half, and they went flying off. I had a huge, swollen,
it was awful,
purple, yellow, black shiner for about 2 weeks.
I still feel bad about it, because you know how you get all worked up?
Dude, I got so laid from that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry, my man.
So, we were talking about Arrested Development and about, like, you know, I always thought, like, even when I watched, I remember when I started watching Ben Stiller's show and the Pooter Toot sketch, that mm-hmm. just, that blew my mind. And then Mr. Shows, all the characters you did on that. And this is a network show where you're actually able to, you know, detach from all those confines of, like, standard TV comedy. And it's a great thing for you because that's what you love to do.
Yeah, it's really fun. Plus, the writing is so, the levels of genius on that show are amazing. And it's, I mean, just to briefly talk about myself and my own experience with it, it's really fun for me to just act in something and to do a character that has longevity to it.
Yeah.
To really figure out what that character is. And it's not a 5-minute sketch and where the reality changes constantly, like in a sketch show. You don't, each sketch has its own different reality. This is grounded in a specific reality. It's a real character. It's juicy, as we like to say in the business. And excuse me. Yeah, and it's really fun, and it's rewarding.
Well, that's great to hear you say that, because I know that, like, you know, just impulsively, I mean, you can generate characters. There's, like, several that you've recurred over your career since I've known you. Who's that guy who used to go on stage? He used to go on stage as a gay person.
Mm-hmm. Daniel James Napoleon.
Yeah, Daniel James Napoleon. And he would get up there and do that. Will you do the voice?
It's well, I mean, it's just a shy, bit nervous, first timer, like, hi, and very pleasant, who's just, unfortunately, not funny, talks about his dog, sprinkles and pepper, and
people would start to laugh at him, you know, because he was...
I would tell terrible jokes,
though. Yeah, and it was, do you remember any of the jokes? Oh, yeah, I remember sprinkles and pepper on the couch.
I can't even remember the jokes, but then I would get confused and a little miffed, and are you laughing? I don't know if you're laughing at me or with me. And then people would laugh, and I go, oh, well, okay, you're laughing at me. That's not why I'm here, and, you know, whatever.
That's great. Oh, those were great, uncomfortable days, man.
The best was the retarded guy. I'd have Louis walk me up. Louis C.K. would walk me up on the stage where I was severely retarded. But I can't do any of that stuff anymore because people recognize me. So kind of those days are over.
Oh, you're right, because it required the anonymity. But didn't you do an impression of a crack baby?
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's more of a visual thing.
That's a bit visual.
Yeah, but that's right. You did the retarded guy getting executed.
Oh, yeah, that was something different. Actually, that is the only bit that I was able to do. Seriously, I started that during the first Bush administration.
Yeah.
It lay dormant for 8 years. Then I was able to bring it back for the current Bush administration.
Yeah. How did that go again? They put him in the electric chair.
Now, you, as a stand-up, are going to ask, you're going to lead me into, you want me to do my bits on the air? Like, this is some morning zoo crew thing in St. Louis?
You know what's weird? Because I had this I've had Todd on the show, too. And the weird thing is that there are so few people in my life that I know that I'm genuinely a fan of and think are funny. That, like, it's like, I'm not doing it for the sake of the audience. I don't care.
No, you're not.
What I'm doing is because, like, I remember, like, you and Todd and Louie are guys I can laugh at all the time. And it doesn't come easy for me to laugh. But you know what? You know, forget it.
I mean, I appreciate it, but I'm not going
to... No, I know. You're not going to dance for me, your friend who wants to see you do a funny thing that you guys used to share when you were younger and you guys were starting out. And
buddy, we'll step out in the hallway after the show.
That's all right, man. That's all right. I get it.
I'll get it.
Too big now, huh? Too big to do the old jokes
That's
for your
it,
friend.
I'm too big.
Yeah, all right,
too
buddy.
Big.
Well, great. I'm happy for you, man. Everything's going well. You got a dollar?
I got a question.
Okay.
What is it like for you as a performer to be on a show that is you know is quality but is still trying to find an audience?
How dare you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's pretty much what I'm used to. I mean, the stuff that I've a lot of the stuff that I've done, including this radio show currently, is a lot of the endeavors are you know, creatively satisfying and critically acclaimed. But yeah, I mean, you're always, I guess I'm
hedging.
No, I'm used to it. And, it's too bad, you know, that it's,
what's going
it's on the bubble. I don't know.
You don't know. There's a lot of people want to know.
I honestly don't know, and believe me, I'd tell you, I'd be happy to share any kind of good news, but we probably won't know for 3 weeks to 5 weeks, just like last year where they didn't tell us till literally days before they decided to pick us up.
Why the hell did they do that? It's so rude. They just don't have a lot of respect for people's feelings or something. Why did they have to wait for the last minute or just let something trickle away?
I know. They're business people.
Yeah. I know. Well, look, I want to tell people, because I don't know if everybody knows you, but they should know you, because Dave Cross is on Arrested Development now, but you can get most of the Mr. shows on DVD now, isn't that true?
All of them, yeah. They're all on DVD.
Which are great. I think Ben Stiller's show is also available. You did some great work on that. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind was hilarious.
Thanks.
That was hilarious. The birdhouse killed me because I remember being, marginally unhappily married at another point in my life. And just that the moment where you...
Wow, there was... Now that I think about it, there was a similarity there, wasn't
there? Yeah,
there was
a
married couple.
I definitely identified with that character, but thanks for being here.
I mean, like, stoned and Jewy.
Yeah.
God, here we go.
Thanks for being here. Running out of time.
Right.
But hang out. We're going to do this last thing. Dave Cross,
thank you very much.
Great to see you. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. One, to get into the proper sedition anniversary mood, wake up at 3, have a large Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and scream at the voices in your head. Two, bake birthday cake shaped like Dan Pashman. Remember, eat it frosting side down because that's a Pashman rule.
Whoops.
Three, begin Clutch Larson diet. Fill snack baggies full of green peppers and watch the pounds melt magically away. Four, Senator Mark Riley. Who's with me? Anybody?
Oh, yeah, right.
Senator, no? Five, today's phrase, just drop this into conversation. Sleep deprivation is a small price to pay for turning this country around. Wake up, sheeple. No, literally, wake up. Bush loves it when you sleep. Happy anniversary, Riley. I'll be in San Francisco tonight and tomorrow at Cops Comedy Club.
All right. Happy anniversary, Mark Maron. Have a good trip. Dave Cross, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And on Monday, Yeah. We're going to talk about whether America is still special.
Yeah.
Or were we ever special?
Yeah.
And we're going to do this all week next week. And, of course, we're also going to have Sam Rosenfeld from the American Prospect. He's going to talk about Democrats launching an all-out war against a guy named John Bolton, who's supposed to be the U.N. ambassador.
Nice.
Have fun.
All right. Happy anniversary, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Very glad you guys are around.
Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition.